You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How temp workers became a sticking point in the auto strikes. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The United Auto Workers and the Detroit automakers failed to agree to new contracts this weekend. A shorter work week and wage increases are among the union's demands. But striking workers are also mad about how Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis use temporary and so-called tiered workers. These are workers who receive lower pay and benefits for doing the same work. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab looks at how the industry came to rely on those kinds of workers.
When automakers faced bankruptcy in 2008, auto workers faced a tough decision: lose jobs or agree to contract changes that would help the companies get a federal bailout. The union chose the latter.
This was a concession that they had to make in order to sustain the bailouts and to have some kind of recovery.
Todd Rutherford, who researches labor and the automotive industry at Syracuse University, says from that moment on,
almost all of the workers that were hired were on some kind of tiered system.
Up to 40% of workers in some plants are tiered, Rutherford says, and up to 10% are temporary. Harry Katz, a professor of collective bargaining at Cornell, says this lets companies adjust their workforces depending on the economy and saves them money.
The base wage is less and the fringe benefits are substantially less for temporary workers.
And workers don't have much room for movement. Victor Chen is the author of Cut Loose, a book about labor changes in the auto industry.
A lot of these new hires get stuck in this limbo of not being able to move up to the higher tier.
Or they get stuck being temps for years. Chen says it's not just the automakers that do this. Temporary and tiered workers are becoming more common in hospitality, healthcare, and other industries.
Something like a quarter of union contracts include multiple tiered structures.
He says unions can curb the use of these workers by establishing time limits on how long a person can stay in a tier or be classified as a temp. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The global economy is slowing down a bit compared to last year, according to the IMF's last estimate. And when things are economically uncertain, people often put their money in places they perceive as safe. U.S. Treasuries, for example, but also gold. The price of gold has been rising again this year, hovering around all-time highs of $2,000 an ounce. The BBC's Leanna Byrne stopped by one jeweler who has seen demand soar.
They say when the economy is looking uncertain, put your money in gold. And if you want to invest in gold, you have three choices. You can purchase shares of a mutual or exchange-traded fund, you can trade in futures and options, or you can just buy the real thing.
Because they saw how much it rose, it made people aware of how much money they can make in gold.
That's Rishi Dunga, who runs DD Jewellers with his family. The jewellers is in Sparkhill, an inner city area in Birmingham in the West Midlands in England, known for its South Asian community. And through one of those double door systems you find in banks is lots of shiny gold bangles, necklaces, earrings, and a lot more.
We sell a lot of bridal jewellery for Asian weddings, so that would be things like this, the bangles. They'll buy typically a set of bangles of 6 to 8 bangles there, might weigh about 100 grams. But then alongside that, they need to buy a necklace for the bride as well, which she'll wear all on a wedding day. So she'll wear something like those over there, these like long necklaces. They're about another 100, 120 grams. It's a big investment alone.
Because the idea is that it's going to cost a certain amount now, but in the future, that price is going to rise.
Exactly. It's that, yeah, it'll go up in 10 to 20 years when they might want to sell it for, typically what people do, they sell it for either a house deposit or an investment, or they'll sell it for the children's future.
And so if I wanted to buy 6 bangles and a necklace and maybe a pair of earrings there, how much would that set me back?
You'd be looking 10,000. Wow. Approximately, possibly more depending on the weight, but average 9 to 10,000 pounds.
That's even before they've paid for the wedding.
Exactly, exactly. it's expensive being Asian.
Do you ever have people trying to come in with fake gold?
Some mother-in-laws have given fake bangles,
oh, no.
Fake gold. And they found out 10 years later when I've tested it, and there's a whole little drama happening in front of me, but it's brilliant. It happens. There is some fake gold out there.
So you're responsible for some family rifts.
Yeah, but I just sit there just trying not to smile.
Jewellery isn't the only way you can invest in physical gold. You can even buy gold bars. If you give Rishi $200 a year, he'll store them for you in a safe deposit box because crime is so rife in the community. Of course, I asked to see inside the vault.
Safe deposit vault.
Oh, wow.
So it's all fingerprint entry. Let's get through. We're actually so busy that we only had this side a few months back. We've doubled it because this is just all sold out.
Yeah, so there's two sides to this room. There's vaults all along the two sides. So you only had the first, the left-hand side was full.
That's right, yeah. It's because crime's gone so high now, banks have stopped offering safe deposit boxes. So people were begging us to hold their jewellery. So it was a no-brainer to get this, and we've done really well. And then we look to expand into the next corridor. Because it's just that busy and crime's that high at the moment, sadly.
So it seems that as the price of gold continues to hover at record highs, it's not just traders that are paying attention. I'm the BBC's Leanna Byrne for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.